Congressman Joe Kennedy III on his Jobs and Justice tour in his race with incumbent Senator, U.S. Senator Ed Markey, and joining us live on the phone now to chat about that campaign. Congressman, good to chat with you again.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's been a little while since we last checked in. I think it was probably March or so when the pandemic was in its early stages and we were all hunkered down. Has the energy in your campaign changed now that you're having some face-to-face interactions?
Oh, thank God. Yes. I mean, listen, it's a, every campaign that I've ever run has been about trying to get out into our communities and be with people and, you know, coffee shops and living rooms and handshakes and high fives and fist bumps and hugs and being with people, because I don't think you can fully understand what they're up against and how we can navigate our way through it if you're not there. And this past several months obviously has been difficult, one, because you can't do that. You can't get in with large groups. You're obviously socially distanced. And two, there's been an awful lot of pain that an awful lot of families have gone through. To not be there and be able to kind of participate in that the way that you normally would has been extremely difficult and even harder, more disorienting to run a campaign. So to be now back, we're obviously nowhere near a semblance of normal, but to be back at least where you can get out and about a little bit more, you can do some stuff in some backyards and some small business walks, all of that is great. And the excitement, the energy out there on a campaign trail is palpable and building, and it's great to be part of. And so six more days. And remember, you can go out there and vote today. And if need be, wait till election day and vote on Tuesday. But vote.
I do have to ask you, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about some of the personal attacks on you and your family that have cropped up during this campaign and your reaction to those.
Yeah, look, it's been, I've been around politics for a long time. And campaigns get testy, they get chippy, you're trying to draw distinctions between each other, and I understand that. The targeting of my loved ones, friends, and supporters, literally volunteers, is a line that doesn't normally get crossed, and it has been here, and, you know, that's been disappointing to see and difficult to take.
The name of your campaign, Jobs and Justice. So what does that mean, Congressman?
So we've been back now several months ago. We rolled out this initiative, a Jobs and Justice initiative, to try to, it was a full-scale response to the COVID-19 pandemic, but not just the healthcare response, the economic response, and not just short-term, but short-term and long-term. So it is a massive federal hiring program and mobilization to make sure that we meet the needs of our people in the midst of this time of crisis. What it entails is, on the front end, scaling up for things like contact tracing and testing and manufacturing of test kits, but also things like outdoor tables for restaurants and dining. I was in Quincy with Council President Lang and Brian Palmucci and Ian Kane and Congressman Bill Belmont. We had a great walking tour through the community, and you see, you know, a lot of restaurants have had to move outside. Well, some of them don't have money for tables and umbrellas and won't have money for heaters. This would help. Some establishments don't have an online presence, either don't have a website or don't have capability for online order. This can help. And so the immediate response, but also the long-term structural changes that are necessary, because we should have never been so vulnerable to this crisis in the first place. The fact that months later, we still don't have enough PPE, the masks, the gowns, the gloves, to meet needs across our country. So looking at things like supply chains and trying to make sure we are able to bring back some of that manufacturing to power communities like Fall River, Taunton, Lawrence, and the Merrimack Valley and out in Springfield. Doing things like scaling up green energy, particularly for offshore wind, to help incubate an entire new industry here in Massachusetts that can pave the way to clean, affordable, renewable energy. So a lot to be done. But what we've done is gone out there and done hundreds of stops to get feedback from small business owners to try to get a sense of what works, because I know you're not going to be able to legislate this from Washington, D.C. You got to get the feedback from local folks in our communities, and that's what we've been doing.
Can I ask, how would you work across party lines if elected? We've got a Republican-controlled Senate. How would you get any legislation passed?
So that's been my reality since I got to Congress. Hmm. Every single bill I ever passed into law, whether that's been overhauling our advanced manufacturing industry or making hearing aids more affordable. Sorry, I'm juggling kids and breakfast, so there you go. The demands of a two-year-old. So whether it's been making hearing aids more affordable or overhauling our advanced manufacturing sector or expanding access to mental behavioral health care, all of that I've had to do with Republicans in control. And look, I think it's my job to where Republicans in the House or the Senate are passing bills or trying to move legislation that I think negatively impacts Massachusetts or hurts the values that I hold. I will stand up and fight against them, obviously, and I think I have. But it's also incumbent on me to find those areas of overlap, those areas where of common ground, where we can, in fact, work together. And that advanced manufacturing policy that was driven by the needs of my district, communities like Attleboro and Taunton and Fall River, when it finally came up for a vote in the House of Representatives, Republican-controlled House, not a single person voted against it. So I'm proud of that record that I've been able to move through by finding areas of common ground and working together.
What is your take on what's happening with the U.S. Postal Service at the current time?
Look, what President Trump and Postmaster General DeJoy have tried to do is nothing short of disaster. It is ill-timed and ill-conceived, and what their activities need to stop immediately. We've obviously had a series of hearings in the House of Representatives to expose some of those tactics. And the administration needs to step into this and say, we are going to guarantee the fact that one mail is going to be delivered, particularly in the time of election. But more than that, the mail, the Postal Service is bill services backbone for so many across our society. It's the way that prescription medication gets delivered. It's the way that people get their paychecks and unemployment benefits. Critical communications from the VA. People depend on the Postal Service. And so an attempt to try to harm delivery of the mail because a president is concerned about what will happen if America votes is a stunning admission from the president. But the next step to try to say, well, we will scuttle parts of the backbone of our economy and our healthcare sector to try to make sure that people don't vote, I'd say stunning again, but I guess we should be accustomed to it now. It needs to stop. Congress has now moved through multiple pieces of legislation. The House has moved through multiple pieces of legislation to protect the Postal Service and to protect our communities. We need Republicans in the Senate to do the same.
Here in Quincy, I'm sure you're aware that the city benefits from the Community Development Block Grant funding, putting it to multiple uses across the community, everything from senior citizens to veterans programs, and has seen a reduction. Was that something that you would work to bolster in the future?
Oh, yeah. Look, CDBG funding, community development block grants are a core and a backbone of so much economic development and the key programs for local communities. And so it has been a big priority for me, will continue to be a big priority for me, particularly for communities like Quincy, but also communities that I represent in these gateway cities like Fall River and Taunton, making sure we have those communities have access to local funding to be able to expand on their economic prospects is absolutely critical. And so, yeah, a big part of my agenda in Washington.
If elected, would you be back in the district, and how would you communicate with the constituents?
Yeah, so I've been running this campaign on the importance of being connected to a local community because I don't think that if there's a common thread literally between the election of Donald Trump and the devastation of COVID-19, and this moment of racial justice that we are still in, it's that you've got a Washington that has become disconnected from our people. And so I've tried to confront that head on over the course of my 8 years in Congress. I represent 34 cities and towns, kind of south and west of Boston, down to the Rhode Island border, down to Fall River. I personally hold office hours in every single one of those communities throughout the course of every election cycle, every 2 years. I come to those communities. We sit down normally at the public library or the fire station and ask whoever wants to come in and talk. Because I think it's critical where it's not just me saying, hey, I think I know what's going on in your community. I want to hear from you, and I want to get that feedback. And I want to make sure that my agenda in Washington is driven by the needs of our local communities. We have done literally hundreds of stops across our Commonwealth over the course of the past several months, proving that and doing the same thing, to show up over and over again and ask questions and listen. And that is the way that we get through disconnect. That's the way that people, I think, know that their voices are empowered to drive the change that so many of us want to see. And that's how I will continue to legislate should I be fortunate enough to serve in the Senate.
Would you support the elimination of the federal death penalty?
Yes. I've been against the death penalty now for years. And look, I come with this as actually a former prosecutor. Obviously, I was never trying. I only did it for a couple of years. I was never trying major cases to that level. But our justice system, I think, as we everybody can agree, it's a human system, and we make mistakes. And as long as there's mistakes that are being made, I think it's I wrestle with the impact of the death penalty where that we've got evidence where it has been flawed.
Even for the Boston Marathon bomber?
Yeah, I mean, look, if there's obviously somebody that would deserve it, it's somebody that commits a horrendous act like that. But I still believe it's hard to start making exceptions for it. I do think that that individual and others that commit similar crimes should spend the rest of their life behind bars. And look, our system has tried to accommodate for that by having these appeals processes and you know, a long judicial process that ends up taking years. It costs a whole bunch of money. It puts victims through multiple rounds of testimony. I think that process can be excruciating, particularly for those that have to participate in it. So, look, very difficult circumstance and very difficult choice. People come down on either side on this one, and I understand that. But I think for a variety of reasons, people that have committed crimes like that and spending the rest of their lives behind bars is, in my book, sometimes even a longer punishment or harsher punishment.
Pundits have kind of made this race out to be old established senator against a young progressive. Is that kind of an accurate depiction, would you say?
I think much of the kind of lines in this race are a bit messy. There's an issue of generation. Senator Markey served in office for longer than I've been alive, but I don't begrudge the longevity. My uncle served in office for a long time. I think by any stretch, our records indicate we're both progressives. I think the biggest difference between us is literally how I define the job. Senator Markey basically says, you vote the right way, you file the right bill, that's the job. And I wholeheartedly disagree with that limited vision of what a United States Senator can be and what a United States Senator can do. I think you got to be here, back in our communities, present, listening to people and fighting for them. Senator Markey spent less than a week a month in Massachusetts. I don't think that's enough. I think you got to be fighting for us down in Washington, passing that legislation. Since COVID-19 started, he's missed over half the votes in Washington, which this is a critical time to try to reconstruct our healthcare system and save our economy, and he hasn't been there. I think you got to be out there fighting for change that we need to deliver on issues like economic recovery, healthcare, immigration reform, and others. Senator Markey, back when Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, I was in about 20 different states, nearly 20 states across the country, and dozens of other districts campaigning to try to hold this administration accountable and flip the House of Representatives. Senator Markey was literally none, not one. And I think that's incumbent on a Democratic senator from Massachusetts. Finally, your base responsibility of this job is to help. When families come to you and ask for help, there. It doesn't mean you can help everybody, but it does mean that you try. And when multiple families, whether it's the Henry family, whose son was killed by police officers in New York, or Colin Bauer, whose kids were kidnapped by his ex-wife and taken to Egypt where she tried to terminate his parental rights, when they came to the center to ask for help, in their words, he didn't. He essentially dismissed them and did nothing to try to assist those families in their plight. And I just think that's inexcusable, right? Like, this is, the job is to help. You're in this job to use the power of the federal government to help people through their most challenging times. And I think I can do more.
Really appreciate your time, Congressman. Good to talk to you this morning.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Yeah.